Hi, this is Reverend Kip Laxon. I'm the senior pastor at Muncie Memorial United Methodist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. And this is my podcast of my weekly sermons. I've entitled this podcast, Preaching Now. Thank you for joining me, and I take you now to the live worship service at Muncie Memorial. Preaching Now with Pastor Kip Laxon.
In 2019, I was privileged to lead a pilgrimage of a little over 100 people to the Holy Land. It was in the spring of the year. It was a Lenten pilgrimage in the month of March. And after we had been there for a few days, we finally made our way to the city of Bethlehem. And when you go to Bethlehem on one of these pilgrimages, one of the places that you most often go is known as Shepherd's Field. On top of a mountain that overlooks Shepherd's Field, believed historically to be the place where the angels came to appear to the shepherds, as was heard in our scripture story today. On top of that hill is an ancient monastery and church. And after we had seen the monastery and toured this church of the shepherds, along the edges of that hillside are several little porticos where pilgrims like we were could gather for time of prayer and meditation, reflection. And so here we are in the month of March, in the middle of Lent, sitting in one of these porticos together overlooking Shepherd's Field. Far in the distance, you can see the tops of ancient houses. And we read this story together as the people of God in that place. And after we read the Christmas story, as it's told in the second chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, we thought that it'd be appropriate for us to share together in some Christmas carols in the month of March, in the middle of Lent. And so we begin to ask for recommendations. And one would call out, Joy to the World. We sing Joy to the World. Another, Silent Night, Away in a Manger. We begin to sing these carols together, most of them by memory. And I must tell you, the spirit of Christmas was really not there in the month of March, in the middle of Lent, even though we were at Shepherd's Field looking out. And just as we got ready to sing another carol, there were some children that were a part of our pilgrimage, and one of them shouted out, Hey, look! And he pointed out into the field. And sure enough, there going across the field about 200 yards away from us was a shepherd, and he was being followed by several sheep in a line in the month of March, in the middle of Lent, at Shepherd's Field. But something changed. Shepherds have been tending their sheep there for millennia, some living in the caves and houses around and about, passing down through generations the care for sheep. I don't know this shepherd and nor the sheep, but there they were going across Shepherd's Field. And an amazing thing happened. The spirit of Christmas came to us in the month of March, in the middle of Lent, looking at Shepherd's Field. It was quiet as we watched that shepherd take his sheep up over the edge and over the ridge and down, and he was gone. And then our voices begin to sing together, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And suddenly Christmas was there. Shepherds have warmly occupied a part of our Christmas story down through the ages as well. Many of you can remember, like I, as a child, my mother taking me to Joann Fabrics and buying a bunch of fabric to make me a shepherd's robe and some sort of turban with twine on the top of my head for the Christmas pageant that I was a part of that year. As a shepherd, I was so excited to be a shepherd. I didn't have any lines. It didn't matter. I had the costume. I had the outfit. I was a shepherd indeed. Shepherds have occupied that warm place and space in our Christmas story. But there are some things that we can learn more deeply about what Christmas is really all about from these shepherds. Probably not the stereotypes we have or the warm fuzzies we feel like I described to you, or even that day when we saw the shepherd and his sheep going over the ridge. There are some things we could learn from these shepherds in this original Christmas story, this announcement by the angels to these shepherds. And I want to share a few of these things in brief with you this morning that we can learn. And the first thing we learn, that I learned, that I want to learn from these shepherds is this, that God cares deeply about the lost, about the lonely. God cares deeply about the lost, and the lonely, and the lowly. Shepherds occupied a precarious situation in the days of Jesus' birth. On the one hand, they were despised. Shepherds were considered in that culture to kind of be at the low end of society, if you will. They were thought to be shifty and dishonest and dirty and smelly. But on the other hand, there were laws within Judea that protected the shepherds. Sheep were such a very important commodity to ancient Israel that there were laws that allowed a shepherd to graze his sheep anywhere he wanted. He didn't have to abide by property lines. Most of the time, they would graze them, of course, out in the plateaus and the wilderness, but they were free, according to the laws of Judea, to graze their shepherd or graze their sheep anywhere they wanted, which led to the despised feeling, kind of like that neighbor that you may have had in your neighborhood that walked their dog and stopped in your yard and left their calling card and didn't seem to do anything about it. And if you hear the tension in my voice, it's because I've been there in one of the neighborhoods we lived in years past. This person I would see come bring this great dog and picked my yard every time and then was on his way. This is how people felt about shepherds. And yet, the very first Christmas message was given to these of the lost and the lonely and the lowly. That means that, of course, the shepherds illustrate the fact that the message of Christmas is for everybody. The announcement of the birth of Christ is for all people, and God is no respecter of persons, Scripture teaches us. And it's ironic, I think, and yet so deeply moving, that the announcement of the birth of the Messiah was not given to the kings and queens, parliamentarians and potentates and presidents, prophets even, but that first announcement was given to these nameless, faceless shepherds who were just out there doing their thing only to receive this special announcement of good news, of great joy. Yes, I think we can learn from the shepherds that His message of the birth of Christ is for all people, no matter where they are in the strata of life, and no matter where they are in how we understand people, as we are prone as human beings to put people in categories. We shouldn't, but we often do. And the message of Christmas comes in that moment to those shepherds. That's the first thing I learned. There's another thing that I think these shepherds can teach us, and it is this, that the first description of the Messiah, the first description of the Messiah is one of the Redeemer. In the New Testament, Jesus has many amazing titles given him. The Light of the World, the Bread of Life. But ultimately, all of those titles, and there are many that I could mention, all point to the fact that he is the Redeemer. The first description of the Messiah is one who comes to redeem us, one who comes to repair the bridge between humankind and divinity. This Redeemer comes to restore us to right relationship with God, right relationship with other people. But you know, this Redeemer also has another capacity, I think, that fits in each of our lives today. This Redeemer comes to fill that void inside of us that longs for meaning and purpose, that emptiness that we often have inside. Maybe you brought that emptiness with you today, hoping that the carols and the decorations and the season could fill that empty void of what life is really all about, what meaning is really all about. I think that's why when the shepherds had received this announcement and then the angels left, they had to look at one another and say, well, where do we go from here? What do we do now? What should be our response to this amazing announcement that's been made? Such is the case with us. Yes, the shepherds They show us that God deeply cares about the lost and the lonely and the lowly in our culture, our society, but also that this Messiah is first and foremost, even though he's many things, he's first and foremost the Redeemer that comes to reach into that darkness of our soul and bring us out into the marvelous light of his coming. It's kind of like the people of Israel have been anticipating the coming of this Messiah for so long, they'd kind of just gotten used to it. I mean, the people of Israel at the time of the birth of Christ have been waiting for this Messiah for hundreds of years. They had taught their children that the Messiah was coming. They had preached the message. They had read the ancient prophets. They had looked for it for so long. It's kind of like the child that would write a letter to Santa Claus, only to discover on Christmas morning that he didn't come. They've been writing letters, so to speak, for a long time, anticipating the coming of this Messiah, and he hadn't come. And to the lowly shepherds, the announcement is made, this Redeemer reaches into our emptiness. And no matter how many letters we've written, spiritually or otherwise, psychologically or otherwise, wanting to know meaning and purpose and the givenness of God in our life. I ran across this the other day from a grown woman who, in the middle of her desperation, that empty void inside, decided that since she had tried everything else to fill that, she would write a letter. So she did. She wrote, "Dear Santa, it's been a long, long, long time since I've written to you. I have now moved from the old house on Happy Street to a house of loneliness and doubt, which stands at the end of Disillusioned Avenue. All the glorious bright lights that I had in years gone by are now either tarnished, dimmed, and tear-stained. Please bring me a few of those precious toys that I once had. Joy, the tinkling bells of cheer that rang in my voice, the candles of faith that shone in my eyes, the frankincense and the myrrh of steadfast hope and strengthening of my soul, and the lodestar of universal love that gleamed once in my heart. I realize now that I did not appreciate those priceless treasures in years past as I should. I took them for granted. I did not care for them as I should have. I let them slip away. So I'm going to hang my empty heart by the chimney and humbly ask that you would bring me another supply of Christmas. Christmas comes to us in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the season, when we first and foremost acknowledge our need for redemption. The Redeemer, to come and feel that empty space, to fill that hole within us. Yes, the shepherds teach me that the first description of the Messiah is the one of the Redeemer, because what did the angel say about him to these shepherds? Born to you this day. Not someday, but this day. To you this day. The Savior, who is often described as Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. That's the Redeemer. There is no dark place in your life today dark enough to keep out the light of the Redeemer if you let him in. There's a third thing that the shepherds teach me, and it is this, that you can come to Jesus empty-handed. Now think about what we're learning about these shepherds, that God deeply cares about the lost and the lonely and the lowly of society, that he's described as the Redeemer who comes to pull us out of the dark places of soul and give us new life, new meaning, new purpose, new joy, new reason for living. And yet we come to him with empty hands. Contrast the shepherds with those mysterious magi who came from the distant east, bringing those exotic gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But as far as we know, the shepherds didn't have any gold to bring. As far as we know, they didn't have any frankincense or myrrh, but they came themselves. They came empty-handed. But in coming empty-handed, they brought themselves. I love that line in this scripture story where it says, let us go to Bethlehem and see this great thing that has taken place. And off they went. I've often also wondered, what did they do with the sheep? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, how did they do that? We're going to go, you stay. The other shepherd, no, I'm not staying. I'm going with you. Forget about the sheep. We've tended to these sheep forever. Let's go see this great thing that has come to pass. They were in a hurry to go. They went empty-handed. I heard about this lady that she always had this great tradition of writing Christmas cards, lots of them, and sending them to friends and family. And time had kind of gotten away with her, you know. Even though it always comes, you know, on the 25th every year, we still feel that we're out of time. And she hurried into a store and she purchased a box of Christmas cards, 50 of them, took them home, and she began to write them out. She actually wrote them all out, all 50, and put them in the mail and mailed them all to friends and family. She had a whole plethora of names that she mailed these cards to, and now she felt such great relief. She'd got her Christmas cards in the mail. A few days after Christmas, she ran into a friend of hers on aisle 6 at the Walmart, and her friend said to her, hey, thank you for the Christmas card, but I just want you to know your gift hasn't arrived yet. And she said, my gift? She said, yes, the card you sent said, Merry Christmas, and your gift is on the way. Talk about empty-handed. The truth of the matter is, the gift is already given. All we have to do is receive it. True? Yes, indeed. The shepherds remind us, they teach us, they show us that we don't have to bring anything but ourselves to Him. There's one last thing that the shepherds teach us. And oh, should we learn this lesson? Should we learn it today and tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that? And it is that you just have to tell somebody. After the shepherds had seen what they saw in Bethlehem, the scripture tells us that they begin to tell everything that they had heard and that they had seen. And people were amazed at everything they had heard and they had seen. And they were glorifying and praising God. They just couldn't keep it to themselves. They just had to tell it. Isn't it interesting as well that yes, the first announcement of the birth of Christ came to these lowly shepherds? But through that experience, these shepherds become, if I may be so bold to say, the first evangelist of the Christian message of the birth of Christ. They just had to tell it, glorifying and praising God. It's like the great Christmas spiritual. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. That's what they did. They went to tell it. They just had to tell it. They just had to share it. They just couldn't keep it to themselves. They just couldn't help to tell somebody. What a lesson we need to learn from these shepherds. Glorifying and praising God and telling it, just telling it that Christ is born. My wife and I, this Christmas season, as we have done in the past, displayed on our front lawn one of those vintage blow mold nativity scenes. It's got Mary and Joseph and the baby. It's got the wise men. It's got a cow and a little lamb and a camel. And of course, you put them all together and you plug them in and they light up. My grandson, Madison, a couple years ago, helped me in our home that we lived in Birmingham, Alabama at the time, display that set on the front yard. And he really enjoyed that. We worked at it together, putting them all in place and making sure all the bulbs were ready and plugging them in. And then when we moved here, of course, he was farther away, and I displayed them this year without him. But then when we knew they were coming, and they came this past Thursday, I talked to him earlier, and he was wanting to know about that, and I said, yes, I've got them there on the front yard, and they're all lit up, and you'll be able to see them. And as they were making their way this direction from Montgomery to Johnson City this past Thursday, of course, that seemed like a forever trip to him. And he's in the back seat in his car seat, and his dad had his phone with the GPS on it because Mom and Dad had never been here before, and so they were checking that out, and he saw his father looking at the directions, and from the back seat, he said, hey, Mama, all you have to do is look for the lit-up Jesus on the front yard, and that'll be Pop-Pop and Jeezy's house. And when he got here, you know what we've done every day as the sun begins to fall and the night becomes to come? He knows it instinctively, and he says, "Hey, Pop-Pop, it's time for us to turn on Jesus." And so outside we go and we turn on Jesus. Let me ask you something on this Christmas Eve morning. Have you turned on Jesus in your life, in your family, in your circumstances? Could somebody recognize your faith experience by saying, "All you have to do, Mama, is look for the lit up Jesus in the front yard"? Oh, that our neighbors would see the lit up Jesus in each of us. Oh, that the world around us would see the lit up Jesus within us. Yes, that's what this Christmas is about. It's time to turn on Jesus. To turn on Jesus in your life and mine. So, if I could take this message about these shepherds and all the miracle of what happened, and I could sum it up into one phrase for you this Christmas morning, this Christmas Eve morning, it would be this: lighten up.